BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hello, it's Adam Buxton.
Hello, I'm Garth Jennings. I'm not Joe.
No, Joe is away for this show. He was away. And so Garth is helping me introduce this podcast, which I'm calling podcast number 8. Now, some of the more pedantic people out there will say, well, there's nine. This is the ninth little thing to flop into my iTunes box. But yeah, it is. One of them was just a thing saying there's no podcast this week. So
get
I'm not
together.
Counting that
Get
one.
It together, people.
I'm not giving that one a number.
No way.
No way. It doesn't deserve a number. This is officially podcast number 8. And it's me and Garth having a little chat fun. Yes, so you'll be able to hear us talking about There Will Be Blood.
I drink your milkshake.
We got an email from someone saying that we sound like... Someone said we sounded like Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
And someone else said we just sounded like Brian Blessed. But it's a mixture of those two people that he does in the film.
He had apparently a picture of both of them on his trailer wall.
He had a picture of Tony the Tiger tattooed to his buttocks. And he would pray to Brian Blessed every morning.
Mm.
I drink your milkshake.
You'll find out what we're talking about if you listen to this podcast. Enjoy.
Watch out, it's Adam and Joe coming from space to your brain. They got a little pack of highlights from the Six Music Show for you to hear again.
They got rid of all of the music and the bits that were incredibly crappy. So now there ain't a whole lot left, but hopefully enough to keep you happy. Here we go.
This is the Daft Punk. They with the digital love. They're from France. They're both from France. Yes, that's right.
This is true.
And they like digital love.
Digital love. That would be dangerous, though, wouldn't it? I mean,
it would hurt.
It would hurt. There'd be electrocution.
You'd certainly need to take some kind of precaution there.
And then there's all the viruses to worry about.
Good work. He's already got it.
Oh, I could write for some kind of Frankie Boyle-based panel show.
Anyway, this is Adam and Garth here on BBC Six Music.
It's a stupid name, Garth. It doesn't even sound right.
What's wrong with Garth?
Can you imagine calling your baby Garth?
That's a good point.
It's weird, isn't it? My mum's listening, I know, because she's bought a digital radio just... for this
have you
experience.
Asked her why she called you Garth? Is there a special family connection?
No, I think my grandmother's Welsh. Mm. My grandma was pushing for Gareth,
right?
But she wasn't having that. She took the E out.
It wasn't like her last dying words or anything.
What's
she like? What did you say? I think she said Garth.
Yeah, I think it was Garth. No, she's still alive, my mum.
Okay, good.
And although I think I nearly killed her coming out. I was a gigantic baby. That's probably why Garth, actually.
Giant baby.
I'm going to call him Garth.
That's because that's how my mum speaks.
That's right. How heavy is she? I mean, how heavy were you?
I can't speak now. I was about 10 pounds, I think.
That's quite giant.
Yeah, man. That's big.
It's like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Is she walking all right now? Good, I'm glad to hear that.
He's only necking, miss.
I'm just belching, Garth. Can you fill?
Are you okay? Adam's belching and I am filling.
It's good. It's all over now. You handled that well, man.
That was terrible on both of our parts,
You're
really.
Fine. It's fine.
Okay. I'm going to get good at this at the end. I'm going to be doing that little talking over the end of records.
If you get good at it, then you're out. Okay, there's no getting good on this show. We were just saying that Elvis Costello would be one of the people that you would most like to sing like.
If I could sing like anyone, that would be my man.
Well, he's a good combination. He's got the technique. He's got like the chops, the actual vocal skills, you know. He can actually hit the notes.
Yeah.
But he's also got that attitude and that...
And no one else sounds like him. And he does like high and shouty noises really well.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to... Good Chelsea.
It's fun singing like him, exactly.
Yeah. I can't do it. That's why I'd like to borrow his voice.
Well, we're playing some Frank Black a bit later on. He's another person that it's fun. It would be great to be able to sing like him, but it's impossible.
I can't.
Now, listen, we're going to do a thing. We've got a thing. Garth thought it would be fun to do a sort of breakfast egg cooking thing.
Well, it's only as a gift, really. I'm new here, and I thought I should provide some kind of... like little present for you all.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found recently, I've rediscovered the boiled egg, the joys of a perfect boiled egg.
And this is via a celebrity chef.
I can't remember who it was now.
Is it Delia or
Nigella? Probably Delia. Because she did a whole thing with eggs, didn't she? Anyway.
She's a woman.
Anyway, Delia's thing. And I thought what we should do, what we could do, if you really, if you like me, enjoy a nice boiled egg and you want it just perfect, because it's quite nice having that and then it sets you up for the day, then everything's exactly. great. What I'll do is I'll give you the perfect timings. All you have to do is get a pan of water on, get yourself an egg. Maybe you need to run down the
corner
shop.
What sort of size of egg are we talking here?
Well, I always medium go large, because why go small? They're not that big anyway.
Well, and the thing was for ages that, you know, for in the 70s, it was all Salman Rushdie writing copy for those adverts saying, go to work on an egg.
Was that Rushdie?
Yeah, Rushdie wrote those.
Oh, man.
And then for a while in the late 80s and the 90s, it was like, don't touch the eggs, they're deadly. The eggs are deadly. You'll die immediately if you eat the eggs.
Well, I think we're safe now.
And now it's okay, I think.
It's all calm.
It's all
down.
Come full circle with the eggs. Yeah. So if you want to take part in our perfect egg challenge.
Well, I just thought it would be nice, you know.
I think it's a good idea, man.
If you get yourself a pan of water on.
Yeah.
And an egg. And if you're a kid, you know, make sure you get a bit someone responsible helping you out with that.
Nice.
That was proper DJ
That's
stuff.
Very
there,
good.
Wasn't it?
Me and Joe would never
I
think
just
of that.
Straight in there.
Yeah.
And we'll make it together, and it'll be a great start to your day.
That's good, man. This
All
is,
right.
We're gonna win some kind of prize for this. This is some classic radio.
Watch out! Here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits, but that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Before we do our egg challenge, listeners, Garth is going to teach you how to cook the perfect boiled egg in just a second, all
right? It was Delia Smith, we found out. It was a Delia Smith deal.
Right, we're just going to go through a couple of emails and texts that we've received. Now, first off, someone was correcting me. It wasn't Salman Rushdie who wrote Go to Work on an Egg as a piece of ad copy. It was Faye Weldon.
I think it was because you were thinking of Salmonella. And you
right.
thought Salman Rushdie, and you put it all together in your tiny brain.
Yeah, that's entirely likely. What famous copy did Salman Rushdie write then?
Naughty but nice.
Naughty but nice. Cream buns. Because he's filthy-minded. There you go. That's
filthy
fine.
Salmon.
Dirty, dirty Salmon. I don't know if he's minded, but... married, but for a long time, he certainly always used to go out with very foxy women, Rushdie.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. That's what the fatwa does for you, doesn't it?
Makes you sexy.
You got a fatwa. Oh, I love men with fatwas.
Nice.
Now, it is time for you guys at home, if you want to take part in this, to create the perfect egg.
Yeah, have a really nice boiled egg to start your day. So if you've got your pan of water boiling away there, and you've got your egg ready to go, get a sort of tablespoon, because you're about to lower that egg into the pan. And Adam's going to talk for 1 minute, because I just want to do a first initial boiling for 1 minute. That is key to the secret of successful boiled eggs. Okay, so you ready, Adam? We're going to put, and folks at home, we're going to put the egg in 5 seconds.
In this minute, I'm going to give you some info from the Canadian Partnership of Consumer Food Safety Education.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some Q&As from their website about eggs and egg safety.
And then I'll just cut in and tell you when to stop, Ad.
Okay.
Okay, folks, so lower your egg into the pan now.
My mom taught me to put hard-boiled eggs, taken out of the shell, and put in water and add a dash of salt. She never asked me how long for, and she has died. Do you know? Thanks.
That's a question sent on this website. All my regrets to your mother. The hard-boiled eggs should be kept in the refrigerator. Under this condition, they will keep for a week. Another question.
I forgot and left 4 eggs at room temperature in water overnight. Can these be hard-boiled, refrigerated, and eaten, thank you?
No, discard the eggs immediately. Once left at room temperature, the danger zone temperature, for more than 2 hours, pathogenic microorganisms will be created, and no amount of cooking will be able to kill the bacteria or toxins that have developed in that time.
How are we doing for time?
Ready? And okay, now what I want you to do is leave the egg in the pan there, but just turn the heat off. And if you can, just put a lid, find an old pan lid, pop it on top of the saucepan.
Mm-hmm.
So the heat's off now, and you're just covering that pan for a perfect egg.
Oh, okay. So you just keep that situation.
I'll let you know.
Right. We're going to play some music, and then when it's time to do something else to the egg,
yeah,
Garth will let you know.
Yeah.
Just talking.
Oh.
Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's the nation's favourite feature. This must be exciting for you, Garth, to be part of the nation's favourite feature.
This is what it's all about.
And this is inspired this week by the fact that I had a little brain memory wave about a service that was popular when I was a child, around about 10 years old, so 1981, 82 maybe, and it was called Dial-A-Disc. Don't know if you remember this, listeners, but you would dial 160 on your old BT phone, and you could choose to listen to any chart single that you wanted to down your crappy phone line.
Yes, wow.
In those days, there was no warning before you listened to the song. I think I'm right in saying there was no warning about the cost that would be incurred. As far as I was concerned, being a young 10-year-old, having never bought a single from a shop before, and the whole idea was a little scary, going out buying, investing in pop music, what's next, you know, probably crack. You would dial 160 and you'd listen to the song, and it would be like, oh, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, this is amazing, I want to hear Souvenir by OMD again. So you would listen to that, and Tears for Fears, I remember listening to Mad World over and over again, thinking, this is brilliant. Obviously, I can't buy the single, that would be too scary, I'd have to go to WH Smith's and pay 99p for it. So instead, I'll just listen to it over and over on Dial-A-Disc till my dad found out. It was about 50p a call. Something like that. I mean, there was the novelty factor as well, you know, of hearing music down the phone. It seemed incredibly futuristic.
You could have it when you wanted it.
Yeah. So it was a brilliant way of getting kids to pay money for music in those days. And now, of course, with the music industry in turmoil, that's the holy grail. Yeah. That's what everyone's trying to force the kids to do, is part with their money. But how? That's the question. When music is so freely available online and from illegal file sharing sites, do you get the kids to part with their money in a way that is similar in brilliance to Dial-A-Disc? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what we want you to text in about, listeners. We want your ideas. Have you got any ideas there, Garth?
Well, I was thinking like ice cream vans, and instead of them just playing those old weird records that go, that they would just play the hits, and you could go up and buy the hits they were playing.
Well, that would be a nightmare. That you're just trying to sanction vans blaring out
music.
Well,
but that's what it's like round my way anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, not ice cream vans, but just like the cars going, you know, and you're kind of like getting them anyway. So I figure,
what about
guy could pull over and sell that track.
Exactly. What about going a different route, getting some of those guys with those cars, what about getting them just to sell ice cream?
Yeah, that would be great. And they'd be like, what do you want? And you go, I want an ice cream. I can't hear you.
You're fake with that. So that's a good idea. Here's an idea I had, and I think this is a go. I mean, I can see this being implemented by the end of the month. Supermarket stereo trolleys.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying that.
Like, you plug in delicious. So you get your trolley, right? You in some branches of Sainsbury's or whatever, you have to put a quid in anyway release the trolley. Then there's another slot to the left of that where you put another quid in, and you have access to the music library contained within the handle of your shopping trolley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They could also like use the fact that you're plugged into headphones and say, hey, how you doing?
Exactly.
Look at the fish today. It's
that's
pretty
right.
fresh.
That's
Sorry
right.
to interrupt your Luther Vandross record, but we've got some salmon that's good.
Exactly. I see you are enjoying hot chip. Have you checked out frozen chips on aisle 5?
Yeah. Awful kind of links to the songs you like.
Exactly.
I'm sure we could come up with those as well, but that's another thing.
You enjoy Duffy? Which maybe you might be interested in this ketchup.
Great times, great friends, great highlights. The Adam and Joe's Six Music Podcast. It's what extreme boredom was made for.
Excuse me.
Basically, if you're boiling your egg, get it out now. Get your spoon in there, lift it out. Hopefully you thought about getting an egg cup ready. So pop it on your egg cup and it should be perfect. Just that perfect. Oh, that's how you
know what you could do, listener friends, is take a picture of the egg.
Yeah.
You know, once you've got the top of the egg off there, whatever technique you use to do that, take a picture of the consistency of the egg, and we'd very much like to see it. You can email it to us, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. You know, it'll be fun for us to see, and we'll put, if we get any good pics there, we'll stick them on the website.
But the main thing is that you enjoy it, and it sorts you out for the rest of the day.
Oh, no, that's not the main thing.
Oh, it is? No.
The main thing is the website.
Okay. No, but I was also, I realised we've sort of missed out the fact that really you needed a bit of toast with that. But people know, people can do things on their own, right?
I don't know.
Maybe they can't.
Well, they're going to be, there's going to be a lot of people stood there with just a boiled egg and no soldiers.
And if they start making the toast, the egg is still cooking itself, of course, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
man.
We should have said.
I should have said. I should have said it in that 2 minute gap. But you were doing
this
all your chat.
This is the kind
chat,
of thing that can bring the big British castle to its knees.
No mention was made of toast preparations, and I was left with a boiled egg and nothing to dip.
You'll be all right. Oh. I hope you enjoy it.
And we are asking you to text in gimmicks to make the kids part with their cash for music. Have you got anything there, Guy?
Well, I've got a good one here. It says, pop videos at the bottom of a pint glass in pubs. 10 pence extra. Great for lonely or boring people.
That's a good one. Alco-pop music.
Ooh.
Okay. As well as choosing what flavour of fizzy kid booze you're going to do your binging on, for an extra quid, you can choose what song the bottle plays, right? Yeah. And the bottle has little speakers in the label, mm-hmm. right? So it's a slightly thicker label, but you listen to Duffy while you're having your Alco Pop coming out through these tinny little speakers. And again, you see it's the novelty that excites the children.
Yep.
And so while they're getting blasted on the Alco Pops, yeah. they can't believe that Duffy's actually coming out of the bottle.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
It would be amazing. And
a bottle of Duffy.
Exactly.
Isn't that a Homer Simpson drink?
That's right. Duffy beer.
Duff.
Yeah.
Sweet Duffy.
Delicious Duffy.
Here's another one from Matt. Matt says, how about trainers with MP3s? If you can add wheels, lights, and the ability to inflate, then why not MP3s?
True.
It'll be annoying, but so are most things these days.
Well, it'd be good because then you could walk in time with it. You could have, like, Ultravox Vienna.
That's right.
You could have a great walk. Like, doo-dum, boom, boom, boom. And you could style your walk to that, like really good, or really good stompy tracks.
That's
if
right.
If you're going, oh, we're going up the hill, we've got to go up the hill, folks. We'll need a fast track.
Daft Punk.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would annoy anyone.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
Song Wars, and they're kind of epics today. They're pretty long, these songs. What's yours, a couple of minutes?
2 minutes Mine's, and 5 seconds.
Yeah, same, almost exactly the same as mine. And this week, our brief was to create songs, pieces of music featuring family members.
Yeah.
Okay, now we are going to toss a coin for who goes first.
You're really doing this. I always thought you would fake something like that. Okay.
Can't fake anything at the castle, boy. You've not been reading the news for the last year. You get summarily beheaded for even a coin toss fake incident thing. Oh, I didn't...
You've looked at it.
You didn't call it. Okay.
You cheated.
Here you go, Jude, you do it.
You do it. Yeah, okay.
Cool. Are you...
Heads. Heads,
you,
I start.
Heads, you start.
Heads.
All right.
Right, we're going to play Garth's first. Now, explain to us what this song is and who's in it.
Well, I should say, first of all, that it's not a song I've written. I've slightly cheated because I didn't have much time. You know, you guys, you've got all the time in the world. You're lazing around there. I've got the help of my grandma, Joan Rebecca Phoebe Graham, who's 87 now. She only had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. She's from Wales. Mm-hmm. We call her Joni. And she's doing a version of Elton John's I'm Still Standing, and which is kind of appropriate because it's a miracle she's still standing, the amount of cigarettes that woman has smoked in her life. But she belts it out. And we've tried to do it in a sort of swing band kind of style, mm-hmm. all on GarageBand like you do it.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of 2 minute version of that track. So there's no intro. It's just full on Joni giving it some.
Let's hear it.
Hello, it's Garth here. I'm sorry, you can't actually hear the track I made with my grandma because it's a song by Elton John and we're not allowed to put it on the podcast. If you want to hear it, though, go to the BBC website and listen to the whole show. It's about an hour and 20 minutes in and it's great.
Wow, that's extraordinary stuff there.
That is Joan Graham, all the way from Llanelli.
Aged 87.
87.
Hope she won't mind us saying her age there.
Oh, I think once you get to that age, it's just...
Doesn't matter that much.
No. I'm very proud of that.
That's great, man.
She did that in her recorded it in her front room on my laptop.
Yeah. And was she familiar with the track already?
No, I think she'd heard it before.
Yeah.
She's quite musical. She picks up a tune quite quickly, but it's impossible to sing.
Yeah.
And so she does it in a kind of shouty rant, which works really well. And she really went for it. You can see her there with her Benson and Hedges in one hand and a microphone in the other going, "What's an ever good hope to win?"
Like Elton John himself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Now, here's my track. This one features my dad, or also known as Bad Dad, of course.
Yeah,
if listeners ever used to watch the Adam and Joe show, which me and Joe used to do on Channel 4 years ago, 10 years ago, then you would have seen my dad. He was our youth correspondent on there. So
he was always one of the favorites.
Yeah, and he used to review videos as well for us. And I'm just remembering now what he said about the Blur video, about Song 2. Anyway, I won't get sidetracked. He loathed it,
yes,
basically. But so this is a rap. This is a Bad Dad rap. I won't say any more about it. Let's check it out.
I'm Bad Dad. I am the badder dadder. I was mad before. Now you've made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder because you borrowed it and failed to give it back. B-triple-A-D-D-A-D, I'm the head of the mother-loving Buxton family. Children got a problem, they bring it to me. I don't solve it, but I'm fairly sympathetic. I've worked many years at the Sunday Telegraph. They called me travel editor, it really was a laugh. I travelled the world, from the north to the south, and it paid for my children's education. Now my children are fully grown. I live on the downs in a house on my own. I drink red wine like Coke you roam. And I listen to a little bit of Wagner. Tidy up the room, fool. Get your hair cut. When are you going to get a decent job? For goodness sake, pass the courvoisier. Yo, 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 yo. Whose yo-yo is this? I watch TV from time to time, but most of what I see is a mother-loving crime. Nigella Lawson, that woman is fine, but Ewan McGregor is appalling. Russell Brand, he's a loathsome creep. Davina McCall, she makes me weep. Simon Sharma, stick him on the heap, and don't get me started on Kaczynski. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the hedge, and I'm carrying quite a lot of veg. Ah ha 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 ha. I'm Bad Dad, I am the Bad Dad. I was mad before, now you've made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to get it back. I'm Bad Dad, I am the Bad Dad. I was mad before, now you've made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to get it back.
I dislike Fiona Bruce. It's very difficult to say why.
That's fantastic.
There you go. That's Bad Dad. Oh. And funnily enough, he's almost the same age as your gran.
Yeah.
I think maybe a few years shy, but he's pretty much up there. He's an octogenarian.
Oh, that was wonderful.
That was good, wasn't it? And
laughing my little face off through that.
He wasn't sure about some of the rhythms there. He had different lyrical suggestions. I had to, because we went through it. He wrote some of the stuff himself.
His breath technique is wicked.
It is wicked. Yeah. He is a wicked rapper, man. Yeah. He's well respected as a rapper. Anyway, so those are the two. Say again. Vote. Yes, you have to vote for which one you prefer.
Only on email, please.
Only email votes. No text votes?
No, this week.
Not this week. So just email votes for Song Wars. And you can vote right throughout the week by emailing adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. And that means, you can vote even if you're listening to the Listen Again service that we have throughout the week after this live show goes out on Saturday mornings.
Watch out, is another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Now, Garth, my guest this week, we've never had guests. Me and Joe, as long as we've been on the radio, we've never, ever had guests. But you are filling in for Joe this week because he's away in America. And as well as being an old friend of ours, you're a film director.
I am.
Well done.
I'm having a go.
Well done.
Giving it a shot.
And you have a film coming out very shortly, do you
it
not?
It comes out on April the 4th.
Right.
Here in the UK. And it's called Son of Rambo.
And Rambo is spelled R-A-M-B-O-W.
Yeah, we put a W on the end just so it wouldn't upset anyone.
And it's just pure coincidence that it's coming out merely a month or something after...
Unbelievable. Well, I started writing this 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time, Rambo was over. And our little film is based on First Blood. When I was a kid, I saw First Blood when I shouldn't have done. I was a bit too young for it. But it blew our minds, my friends and I. And we started making our own home movie versions of First Blood.
Yeah.
And they're fantastically awful and brilliant sort of little home movies. And so we've written a whole movie about two little kids making their sequel to Rambo.
In the early 80s.
Set in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of very sweet, very silly coming of age movie with lots of action and adventure thrown in.
So the premise is sort of autobiographical, but things that happened to them, none of that happened to you though, right?
No, I started off being based on my own experiences, and then I realized I'd had far too good a time and there was no conflict whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we started to, and we wanted to turn it into a proper movie. So yeah, that's what we did. That's why it took so long.
But you got the film made fairly quickly, though, didn't you, in the end?
Yeah, well, it took ages
once
to get the money.
Once you started shooting, yeah.
But then once we got it, it was 40 days to shoot, 4 weeks to cut. And our first screening was a week after we completed the film, which was at the Sundance Film Festival.
Right.
And that was bizarre because, no one had seen it. And the first time anyone saw it was there. And it was an amazing, phenomenal response. So
yeah, because it's a sweet, sort of unassuming film. I hope you don't think I'm kind of damning it with faint praise by saying that, you know. But yet there was this overwhelming response in Sundance, wasn't there?
It was nuts.
Yeah.
And no one could have predicted it. We were terrified about showing it, because we'd lost sight of it as well. When you watch a film loads and loads and loads of times, you begin not to sort of feel anything towards it. And you say, oh, no, it's not working anymore. So then you put it in front of 1,200 people and you're terrified. And then about 10 minutes in, something happens with a tennis ball. You'll see it in a few weeks' time, where they got a really big reaction.
Yeah.
And then from then on, it was just, pew.
You've got them.
By the bits. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable because it went from this film that no one wanted to finance to a bidding war that night. And by 5 o'clock the next morning, they'd been bidding all through the night. Paramount Vantage bought it.
Yeah.
And we were in a little chalet and I'd gone to bed thinking this won't happen. And when I woke up, they were still downstairs signing the contract.
It's like Entourage.
It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is a true story, and we could never have predicted it.
And you had, I remember you saying, was Bono in one of the screenings?
He came to that screening. I don't know Bono.
Yeah.
He just happened to be in Sundance, and he walked past us and then went in and sat down. We're like, what's Bono doing here? He's just around. And suddenly everyone's like, oh, yeah. Oh, nice. It's not my friend. I wasn't really dropping.
The name drop for you then.
Good. Okay. I feel absolved. And then afterwards, I was summoned for a little critique, and he loved it. He pointed out loads of things he loved about it. One of them was the fact that there's a guide dogs for the blind thing, one of those yellow golden retrievers that used to be outside supermarkets. He's like, I've forgotten about those. I totally forgotten about those little guide dogs.
You made him sound like a leprechaun.
Ah, he said hello. He jumped out of a little cup.
Would you like a Guinness?
Yes, yes. Your lucky charms. You look at you. You're all big there with your face. I'm taking the mickey out of him. He was really genuinely sweet.
And I bet.
We were on such a high because it worked. That was the main thing. We didn't think we were going to sell it, but he was very, very sweet to us.
How fantastic.
Oh, lovely.
Just talking.
We were talking about There Will Be Blood, the Paul Thomas Anderson film that won all them Oscars. And I was really knocked out by it.
I wasn't against it.
Yeah.
I just have never seen anything quite so bananas.
I mean,
I didn't know
nuts.
What was going on toward the end there.
Yeah. And he gives an amazing performance, Daniel
Day-Lewis.
No question about it. He deserves his statue.
This is why I found it so confusing, because everything was amazing about it, but I just didn't. I was thinking, who's the guy with the thing then? Who's the brother? And then, why is he doing that?
Yeah. But it is an amazing performance. I mean, whether you like Paul Thomas Anderson or not or whatever, you got to see it. I mean, boy. And there are moments that I cannot believe that they were not going for something comedic.
Even though I thought it was bananas, I cannot stop thinking about him and trying to impersonate him.
Yeah.
Because he's so strange.
Yeah, how do you do it? You basically talk like this, don't you?
I've
I mean,
come
he's
a long
American.
Way to be here tonight with my son, H.W.
It's almost like Agent Smith from The Matrix, you know?
Yes, you have to take a big breath before you start talking. That's the key, I think.
Yeah.
Start with that.
There's a great scene towards the end where he's trying to explain the process of drilling for oil and nicking the oil from someone else's kind of plot.
Yeah.
And he starts talking about the milkshake. If imagine you have a milkshake, I have a straw, and I put my straw way over here, and I drink your milkshake.
Let's hear him actually doing it.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
I drink it up.
I love that.
I drink it up. He's like that all the way through.
And he's shaking with rage as he's saying it. I drink your milkshake.
I'd like a T-shirt with that on it.
I think they're going for that in America because it's become a catchphrase over there.
I'm sure.
The Paramount guys put out flyers with I drink your milkshake. And then when you open it up, it says I drink it all up. And there was a voucher. I'm not kidding you. There was a voucher for the smoothies at the local... I'm not kidding you. This is a genuine publicity thing. Because people were just running around going, I drink your
milkshake.
Yeah.
I drink it up.
You could see that happening in cafeterias and at schools. Yeah, exactly. What are you doing?
I'm drinking your milkshake. I'm drinking your milkshake, you boy.
Wow. But it's fun. I defy you not to spend quite a long time talking like Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'd like my egg properly boiled.
What are we watching? I don't like this program on television. Turn it over. I want to watch Saturday Night Takeaway with Anton Deck. I love Anton Deck. I drink their milkshake. I drink it up.
He's only necking, miss.
Well, there you go. That's the end of our little highlights package from our Six Music show. Thank you very much indeed to Garth.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been marvellous.
And do go and see his film Son of Rambo if you haven't already got that message from listening to the podcast. That'll be out in April. And Joe will be back with me next week. And I hope you have a good week. Cheers. Take care. Garth, you say goodbye as well.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music. Whoa.